and you can collect your copies. If I'm not wrong, they are on your seat. Then those who need more, you can collect when you go out. Yeah. We supposed to start our puja in about 1 minute's time. Yes. Okay. Tonight, who is supposed to light the candle and the incense? We ask Sui An and Mi Feng. Okay. Oh, Wendy. Wendy, come. You and Eddie. You and Eddie, come. The lighter down there. Okay, we can get ready, You all can stand. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, can offer the three verses. Can offer the three verses. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Pass it to the back. Sadhu, 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 sadhu sadhu, 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 sadhu. Now walk forward. Let's say walk forward. Then she can stand in. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Thank you. You all can compose your mind, yeah? Develop the faith, the sadhā, virya. Then we will pay respect to Triple Gem. We will chant the Thai tradition. Arahang sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Sokkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho saṅghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you all can be seated and we will start the puja chanting. Turn to page 4. For those who just came in, we have this new book, A Final Summary of Satipatthana Sutta. So you make sure at least you get a copy. You want to give to any of your Dhamma friends who can appreciate, you can collect on your way out. Okay, turn to page 4. We will start off with the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will now chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganda sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dupenahang sukanghina pujaye pujaniyantang puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santhatin pujayami monindas siri pada sarorohe puje mi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kaya tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, turn to page 18. We shall chant the puja aspiration. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel allness of ignorance therein. Understanding the significance of offering of water, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements therein. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, after rejoicing, we will now pay respect to Triple Gem. Butang Pujimi. Damang Pujimi. Sanghang Pujimi. Okay. Now we can off the light, huh? Then we can start the meditation. Those who are already familiar and know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. For those who are new or still need instruction, I will suggest you go back and read the blue book. You don't have, you can collect a copy on the way out. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha is based on a Thursday talk that was held last year, 13 September 2013, not last year, almost 2 years back. That one was a very good one. It contains almost full description of the procedure to meditate and the understanding of it. They are all inside there. So if you read through that one, it will help us save a lot of time. So tonight, I just let you meditate so that later on if you cannot understand or if you do not really have the clear understanding of what you have to do when you're supposed to come here and develop the meditation, you can ask me afterwards. So you just go ahead and do your meditation. I will ring the bell after half an hour. So you got more time to meditate. 32 minutes to be precise. Okay, now you can start your meditation. Thank you. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner peace that you have developed and inner awareness that you have cultivated. These are the mind states that you need to use when you live your daily life. And the real meditation is after you have the ability to make use of this heedfulness or meditative mind of awareness to live your daily life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, leading to the awakening to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, or impermanent, leading to the suffering state and the empty nature, non-self nature. That is the real meditation. Then now we shall do the invocation to the Deva. Turn to page 6. I will read to you the English translation. Then after that, we will get Ingvi to help us recite the Pali. Invocation to the Devas. In the universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava rahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro punyakama sarati Sattā deva manusānāṁ buddho bhagavāti Svākāto bhagavātā dhammo Pāṁtitiko akkāliko ehibhāsiko upanāyiko Pācatāṁ veditādho no he ti panno bhagavato savaka sangho ujo pati panno bhagavato savaka sangho nyaya pati panno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho yadidang chattari visayokkhani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sangho Pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu 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 give me respect the triple gem. Buddhang Pujeme. Dhammang Pujeme. Sanghang Pujeme. Okay. You can be seated. Then just relax yourself, huh? Body and mind. Then maintain some form of attention. Okay, we will now start off with the second session. Huh? Second session is reporting of meditation. You can report your meditation. Then you can also at the same time ask whatever question that is related to the meditation, the Dhamma, the teaching, and how to understand what you have learned here so that you can make use of it to help you understand life and develop the wisdom or understanding to resolve all of your situation or problem that you encounter in life. So that is a very good opportunity for you all. So now we open it up. Anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any question, you can raise your hand. The mic is somewhere around. Oh yeah, it's with Ingby. Yeah. Anybody wants to report the meditation? Today no instruction, so what happened? You know how to meditate, huh? How many of you don't know how to meditate today? Oh, everybody know how to meditate. So no question. But if you know how to meditate, you must report your meditation. Make full use of the condition if you want to learn and develop better understanding. No need to be shy. The one that is shy is your thought, not you. You have to learn to understand. Ah, yeah, English. Yeah,
Ratio,
Sukhyo Tu. Sukhyo Tu, yeah.
Just now was, while I was meditating, I feel the hand there like full of vibrating,
yeah,
like in a flux.
I know.
And then later, somewhere in the middle of the meditation, there's like something jerking. Connect to the leg, also jerking.
Yeah.
And then when I continue silent, I felt that the jerking and the heartbeat like together.
I know.
So it's like
the same time.
Vibrate.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I still aware on the breathing process. Then I have one question is to ask Bertil to explain. To me, if what's the difference between jhana and samadhi. Samadhi, last time you explained to us there's kanika samadhi, upacara samadhi, and apana samadhi. About jhana, how different are they?
Thank you. Good. Thank you for your question. So regarding the meditation, when you already know how to meditate, then it's very easy. You just relax, silent, then allow the phenomena to tell you the story. Means when you're silent, you will be aware of many, many things. So what Ingby has described is just one of the few things that she is able to be aware of because it's more pronounced. So like the hand, she can feel the vibration. Then later on, as you relax more and silent more, then it's like it vibrates faster, like in a state of flux. Then sometimes it may choke. Then all this movement, you will understand how it come about. Then later on, she was able to feel the movement and the vibration. Then he realized they are all connected to the heartbeat, because that pulse of life is from your heartbeat. So that vibration, it is the same vibration that is sent through the heart, means the blood that is pushed out and flow out, it has the same pulse of life. So when you are mindful, sensitive, you can feel them without the stethoscope. That's why she can feel the heartbeat and all those parts. But meditation is more than that. Meditation is continue to relax into all mind state, whatever that arise. Then you allow the silent mind to understand, but there must be awareness within, attentiveness within. Then without word, it will understand. But initially, as you relax and silent, all this vibration will actually slow down. Until it become very quiet, until the mind also become very quiet. Then you are aware, you just relax. You can be aware of the movement on your forehead, because the brain there, that is the place where the most thinking or sankhara activity arise. Where this is the brain, and thought is respond to memory. That's why all of your thought movement, sankhara activity, they are all here. But the moment it arises to your wrong view, when you start to react and stir, then the mind state, the emotion is felt at your heart area. That's why whenever you get angry, unhappy, fearful, emotional, it's always felt at the heart. Where this is a seat of consciousness. This part up here is the thought. So the thought actually is just condition arising, mental activities. But the emotion, the mental states, the sankhara activity, they come from your views and opinion, from your conditioning. So all this, you will come to understand. Meditation is to develop the awareness to understand all this. That's why sometimes you hear people say it's self-knowledge. Self-knowledge means what? Understanding who you are, what you are, what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about. The two aspects. First is as a human being. For us, it's the human being. For the non-human, they are living beings. They may not be human beings. Sometimes they are animals, petas, devas. So awareness will allow you to have the ability to be sensitive, to understand what is going on, and how you function as a human being, how the essential Dhamma work. You will witness within your own form and mind the whole of the dependent origination. How avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, then what is vijnana, then vijnana, pachyana, marupang, all this you will come to understand. Then you will also come to understand the noble truth. You will also come to witness the hindrance of mind, if you still have them. Then you will also come to witness the spiritual faculty as they arise, the seven factors of enlightenment as they arise, the three evil roots as they arise. But in the sitting posture, most of the time, you are not aware. Because most people, when you sit, you are either sleepy, or you think a lot, you are still heedless, or you are busy training the mind, busy noting, doing this, doing that. That's why you cannot meditate yet, because your mind is not in sati. It don't have that stability. But when you have already trained this mind, that's why today I don't want to give any instruction. I want you all to find out. How many of you can just straight away sit, you already aware, can meditate inside there? How many? Huh? Cannot be, huh? Quite a number, yeah, sadhu. Quite a number. Because these people have trained. If your daily mindfulness is stable, I tell you, you no need to train your mind anymore. You come now, you just sit, you straight away silent, aware. Or if you are, let's say, very busy throughout the day, you have a lot of things to do, then this sankhara is still there. But you don't worry. The moment you sit, because you know how to silent. Then the awareness that is aware of this activity of mind, sankhara or thought movement up there. Initially, it's like you can see on all this coming out, because when you are living your daily life, you have to attend to many things. And during this working moment or activity that you are undergoing, most people are not heedful. And because of that, there is a lot of activity of the brain. So you accumulate many things, you have to remember many things. Then a lot of these things is like important to you. So because of that, end of the day when you want to meditate, that's why you will feel that your body is very tired. You need to recuperate. You need to recharge. And meditation is the best way. You know how to relax, silent and aware. Then you realize all these activities, sankhara, the thinking. The movement initially is still there. But the moment you relax and silent, it will slow down. Slow down. This can only happen if you already know how to meditate. You know the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or heedless thinking. So you don't need to use mind sweep method to decondition the heedless thinking. You just use the third way. Relax, aware and silent. Then the mind will slow down and fall back to its original state of stillness and silence. And you must realize that. Otherwise, you have to wait till when you have emotion, anger, fear, or what. Then you quickly silent and feel. Then see what happens to that feeling and emotion, because it's always at the heart. The thought sankhara is at the brain there. Yeah. You have to silence your mind to see all this. Yeah. And then you understand. Then after that, no word on. The silent mind understand. That's how you trace the origination factor. How the unarisen hindrance comes to be. Then how the arisen hindrance is to be. Then how not in the future this hindrance can never arise anymore. Then the factors of enlightenment is the same. All this mental state is the same. So meditation is about silencing the mind, developing the heedful mind. To be heedful, you have to start with mindfulness. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes ever mindful. Then with that state of mind, sati accumulating into samadhi, it will have the ability to see things as they are, because the silent mind in sati and samadhi is not disturbed, not stirred. There is clarity. Then because this awareness And this mind is within the form, trapped inside this body. That's why anything that arises within the form, it will have the ability to be aware. Because our physical body got the five physical senses. Then the mind, which is consciousness, that one, upon contact, many things happen. And that is how you function as a human being. How consciousness come to be, then how through your views, opinion, and delusion, you input the content. That's why the content of consciousness depend on your understanding, or your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. So content of consciousness measures your understanding. If you don't have understanding, then the content become negative. They call it akusala citta. Kusala is wholesome. That's why wholesome and unwholesome. But when you have wisdom, there is equanimity. There is only the pure, wholesome consciousness. And this one is free of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then when you are completely silent and still, you will understand how all this condition arising mind state, aggregate of mind come to be, how they stir, how they become what they are. That's how you develop self-knowledge, understanding clearly who you are, what is this fire aggregate of form and mind. It's all about how you function as a human being, how you know the world, how do you interact with the world, how you become animated into a human being. Yeah. So all these are very important understanding for cultivator to develop. Then you can see clearly your mental intention and all those things. That's how you can put to test the Buddha's essential Dhamma, all of his teaching, the Dhammapada verse, and every essential Dhamma that he has taught you. You can put it to test, you can investigate into them. And because they are the truth, they will stand up to investigation. Then coming to the second part of the question, Ng B want to understand what's the difference between jhana and samadhi. Yeah. So this one, it has been explained before, but tonight I think there are conditions, so I will re-explain one more time. Because in the Buddhist community, there is a lot of confusion going on. I used to explain to you in the early days, before the Buddha, there is no such thing as vipassana meditation, insight meditation. In the early day, all of meditation is mainly samatha, concentration meditation. That's why the 40 objects of meditation, they always talk about it, kamatangha. In Pali, it's called kamatana, but in Thai, they call it kamatangha. Kamatan. So these 40 objects of meditation, they are object of concentration, focusing, developing samatha. Some they call it developing samadhi, which is not wrong because they are talking about apana samadhi. Yeah. So the three types of samadhi that is explained in the text or the scripture, they use the word samadhi. Yeah, samadhi. So any form of collectedness of mind or unwavering mind is samadhi. Understand that? Jhana is a type of samadhi. It's apana samadhi. When you go into one pointedness, into absorption, where the mind is all fully fixed and concentrated, absorbed into one point, or the object of meditation, then it becomes apana. Apana means very strong concentration. And when you do that, you actually become, the mind become a conditioned state, no more a natural free state of mind, because of the energy field, the concentration, the one-pointedness energy field. Or if it's continuous mindfulness, it becomes absorption, it becomes absorbed into the object of meditation. Like the casino, they visualize the various type of light casino, or water casino, fire, wind. Then they have power over the element. Then they can play with it and develop psychic and all those things. So these are all various form of mind state that are very concentrated. Indeed. But after the Buddha came, after he became fully enlightened, he realized all this does not lead to enlightenment. All this is actually a trap if you do it until Apana Samadhi. You have to release out that concentrated mind, or what they call the absorption or the one-pointedness energy field, into the free state. Means you release this energy field until normal state of awareness, until the mind is a free mind, is no more a conditioned mind, means not holding on to anything. And when you are in that state, then that mind is free to move. And then you will know whether you already developed the wisdom and you already awakened or not. Otherwise, the latent tendency, which is the defilement that are still latent in you, but you don't know, you think. Because when you are in that concentration or absorption, apana samadhi, or the so-called jhanic state. Jhana are actually apana samadhi mind state, very strong concentration. The mind is so still, so silent, one-pointedness, absorbed into it, unmoving. There is clarity inside there, especially in absorption meditation. But some, the mind become blank, like no thought, completely blank inside there, because all in concentration. And during that time, you can also enter the state of sahampati. Sahampati means cessation of thought, completely no thought. That's like blank. But they cannot recall anything. There's no memory, nothing. Because all, like, in full absorption, and its conditions, they become like that. But the moment you release it out, then it's different. That's why it's in the midst of daily life. If you are in this state of upacara samadhi, which is at the threshold before you go into apana samadhi, you know what is a threshold, isn't it? Before you enter the apana samadhi, the strong concentration. So at that threshold, you are in samadhi, but your mind is a free mind because it's not in the conditioned state. So when it's the free mind, your senses are fully engaged in daily life. That's why when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think of people, unfriendly people disturb you or say anything to you, or you recall something frightening or what, then you realize the latent tendency, whether it's rooted out or not, you will know, because it will surface. Because it's a free mind, it's not suppressed. There is no energy field to condition it not to come out. So, suppressed means the energy field is so strong that it cannot come out. That's why I say when they are in that state, it's like they are enlightened. Yeah? But that is not the real enlightenment. That is a conditioned state. You don't have anger. You don't have delusion. Everything is so clear inside there. But then there is a conditioned state. Your mind becomes like that because of condition, not because of wisdom. The real awakening is when you insight into form a phenomena, when you insight into the characteristics of nature, when this silent mind awakens, then the understanding, the wisdom, root out the delusion, root out the ignorance. Then after that, that form of mind, because it's connected to that understanding, it see clearly the impermanent, the suffering state, and the empty nature or non-self nature of all phenomena. And with that understanding, it's no longer deluded by the phenomenal world. Then nothing in this world can make them unhappy, can cause them any suffering, misery, or fear, or whatever. Because it understands this is not me. There is nobody inside there. Everything is just condition arising, causal phenomena. Then the Buddha Dharma become very clear. Anicca, Anatta, Sankara all become very clear. Then why the Buddha says sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta, all become very clear. So this is basically the explanation during the early days. Because during the early days, they always do concentration, meditation, samatha in nature. That's why they do jhana. And the two teachers that taught Sakyamuni, Alara and Udaka, both, they are experts in jhana. One taught him until the 7th jhana, the other one taught him until the 8th jhana. And within the field of jhana, the 8th jhana is the highest. And that one is still thought-based. That's why in Mahayana also, because Mahayana, it went over mainly to China. And China, before the advent of Buddhism, they already got their own meditation. You see all this Kung Fu show in there. Oh, they can go into that meditation they call Pi Guan. They can go into stillness and silence for months inside there. Those are all energy fields. That's why they develop special Kung Fu. Then, when they start to do this, that's why during the early years before Hui Ning come about, they always talk about this type of concentration. Si Chan Ma Ding. You heard of it, isn't it? Eight type of Samadhi. Apana Samadhi. Ting. Ting is Samadhi, Ting Li. Ting can also mean, in Mandarin, concentration. Means very still. Si Chan is the four form jhana within the form world. Then when you go beyond the form, form is Rupa, Rupa Loka. That one is the form jhana, first to fourth jhana. And when you have this, when you pass away, you are not awakened, you will take birth within the 16 Brahmarayam, depending on your ability to stay in which jhana, how stable you are in the various stages of the four jhanas. Then for those who go beyond the form jhana, they will develop the next four, which they call arupa jhana. And these are energy fields. These are very strong concentration. they are called apana samadhi. It's either one-pointedness, ekagata, or absorption through objects of meditation. When you focus as one-pointedness, then it develops into ekagata, jhanic factor. Then you become very strong. But the other one that go into absorption is continuous mindfulness. And they use the object of meditation to absorb into it until no thought, everything fixed. During the early days, this is what they do, most of the cultivator. Then when the Buddha arrives, he teach awareness, sati, mindfulness in daily life. Then he explained the seven factors of enlightenment, the five spiritual faculties. So all this teaching come about later, after the Buddha, Sakyamuni, arise. But nowadays, because of what happened, there is another group of monks, or mainly monks, I think. They come out with this type of argument, because they do what they call pure vipassana anasana. You heard during the early days, there is this two type of cultivator. One is the dry arahant. The other one is from samatha, you develop the wisdom. So that one is the second one. That one that develops the samatha or jhana, concentration. Then, after that, you break free. So that one, in the text, they have a word for it also. Cheto vimutti. You heard of this word? Cheto vimutti. The other one is panya vimutti. Cheto vimutti. What is vimutti? Vimutti is what? Liberation, means enlightenment, liberation, the mind liberates. So cheto is through concentration leading to liberation. The other one is through wisdom, panya vimutti. Means wisdom leading to liberation. Actually, both also wisdom leading to liberation, because they miss this part. From cheto, which is concentration, smata, you release it out. Then you cultivate wisdom. That's why this part is panya, but they miss it out. Both must go through panya vimutti. That's why those who are trapped in cheto, you don't know how to release it out. Before the Buddha came, none of the monks in India can awaken. That's why they are all trapped there. And the Buddha himself, for almost 6 years, he was also trapped there. He also knew that is not what he was looking for. He was in search for an answer to the question of birth and death. Because when he saw the four signs, the first three signs, old age, sickness and death, because he thought this is what he is, the human being. Then he realized he has a problem, because this form, this human being, will go through old age, sickness and death. And when he confronts this reality, he cannot free his mind. He's trapped. Suffering will arise. But later on, when he develops the wisdom underneath the Bodhi tree, that night when he became fully enlightened as a Sammasambuddha, then he came to realize this form and mind is not him, not what he is. And because of that, he awakened, no more deluded. So all his sickness and death relates to the physical body, the form. And because of that, he realized it's not his problem. He don't have a problem at all. When he understands this, his mind is liberated. Then he realized there is no more rebirth, no more coming back into this world. Means the normal type of rebirth through ignorance, delusion. So in the past, they talk about this Chetu Vimutti and Panya Vimutti. But then some of these monks, because there are two categories. One say you must have jhana, then only you can awaken. You don't have jhana, you cannot become enlightened. So what do they do? They come up with another version of jhana. They say there are two types of jhana. The jhana that the Buddha talked about is not the concentration one, not the apana one. The jhana that the Buddha talked about is, he also used the five jhanic factor, no? But he go and introduce another factor inside there. He said this is wisdom jhana. So he said when you can develop the training of your mind to be aware, then this awareness, when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. So as you train, you become samadhi. You will go through piti and sukha also, he said. Yeah. As you go through piti and sukha, actually they finally reach pasati, but they don't know. They think it's the one-pointedness, ekagata. But they're going to introduce the wisdom in between. He said, when you have the mindfulness, then this mindfulness allow you to understand some form of Dhamma understanding. Then you experience piti. That is the first jhana. Then later on, when this piti become more refined, you experience sukha, that become the second jhana. Then as you relinquish them, it's exactly like the jhana, except that is it. With this clarity, you develop more understanding and more wisdom. Then your samadhi is more stable. Then, because of that, they say, in the fourth jhana, there is equanimity. The equanimity is supposed to be born of wisdom, which is upeka. But they cannot relate to that. So they just introduce that there are two types of jhana, not necessary in absorption and concentration and one-pointedness. Wisdom jhana. So that solves their problem. Means the dry arahan also can have jhana. Because it's normal type of mind that is aware then with the wisdom. But why do you want to be in jhana? That is the question they never ask. You look at Noble Eightfold Path. Why the Buddha put there Sama Samadhi? He never put there Sama Jhana. If it's Jhana, don't confuse people. Straight away Sama Jhana finish. Then everybody will go into Jhana. But it's so obvious. The Buddha, before he became enlightened, he became better than the two teachers. He also completed all the Jhana. But he is not awakened, not enlightened. So it is pretty obvious. That's why when you cultivate, you don't go and listen to what people tell you. You investigate into what the Buddha teach. Then you try it out. You find out what that thing is. Samadhi is very straightforward and simple. It is not an absorption. It is not a concentration. It's just the stability of the silent mind. When the silent mind has reached a level of stability, then you start to have samadhi. That's why the first one is kanika, moment to moment. Moment to moment samadhi is not momentary samadhi, understand not? Understand not? They get it wrong. Momentary means what? For a while only. But moment to moment is, there is sati, moment to moment, awareness, moment to moment. But that one don't have samadhi. That one is not collected, not unwavering. As you develop the moment to moment awareness or samadhi, then suddenly very loud noise or vibration come, or somebody disturb you, you lose your samadhi, then you like got fear, panic. But when you develop this until it become continuous in your daily life, until this mind is so different, then this samadhi is very different. Especially when your mundane mind collapse, then there is no mundane mind inside there. Then it's just the supramundane mind, the true mind, that whole nature just shine forth. And that one is eternally aware. That one is in the eternal state of samadhi. And that one, nothing one, you cannot talk about. It's just clarity, silent, just that nature. So as you cultivate from moment to moment kanika samadhi, you accumulate into continuous flow. Then it becomes the mind is in samadhi. When your mind is in samadhi, you don't have to do moment to moment. That's why you have to silent your mind, train your mind until it becomes pasati. Pasati is the silent mind, still, tranquil mind. And that is the fifth factor of enlightenment. So when it becomes very quiet, very still, very silent, this is the one that can meditate and can understand. This is the silent mind. This is the meditative mind. So when there is pasati, your mind is very still, very tranquil, very quiet. But it's a free mind. It's not in absorption. It's not in concentration. That's why you train your mind. You meditate until it becomes like that. That's why during the early day, I came to know about it. Well, I developed this meditation naturally on my own. Nobody teach me. They teach me last time, it was the early day, also rising and falling. But I cannot do. I never do. I just relaxed, silent, then the anapanasati just came by itself. Then when it came, I just do. Then I experience piti, sukha, and the mind becomes so different. Then after that, I told you all, the first day when I was in the university, I just went and said, that time I don't even know what is meditation. Then I went to it for 4 hours without me knowing. I thought it was at the most half an hour. But the moment I looked at my watch, I saw 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. in the morning. I sat at about midnight. Then my mind was full of clarity, full of energy, that stillness, everything inside there. That one was absorption, continuous mindfulness. As I went into the formless jhana. Then after that, the mind is so different. So that time I thought, how deep already. But I was trapped there for many years until I graduate. Then when I came out to work, when I get involved with money, salary, then only I start to see inside. How come I can move again? It was so still for so long. Then I realized, this one still got craving, desire. Want to become a lawyer. Want to study, to master. They're interested in a lot of things, financial things and everything. Then I realized, what is this movement? Because after I graduate, I don't meditate so often already. I have to work. Then I have to attend to many things. So during that time, I realized this is not the real awakening. This is not the real meditation. Then I continue to investigate. Not until the year 1986. Then I received those books from Master Shen Hua. Then I read Surangama Sutta and all those things. Then after that, I met Achanyandra. That was the turning point. 1986-87, I met Achanyandra. Then he told me the highest meditation, the real meditation. We choose aware all action, all movement in the present moment. Then only I realized, oh, if that is the real meditation, means I haven't done. Because what I have done is only the form of meditation, anapanasati. My mind is very still, very silent, but I can only do it in the form of meditation. The one he described is daily mindfulness. Then I realized that was what the Satipatthana was all about. Then I determined to do it. And within 2 weeks, the mindfulness came. And then when the mindfulness came, it's so strange. The mind automatically understands many, many things. It can see so many things that it never see before. It's not in a conditioned state. It's not like everything is excluded. Everything is locked into one point or in absorption. So when it's a conditioned state, it's so different. When it's a free mind, it's so different. Then I was able to develop this daily mindfulness, starting with kaya, of course, anapanasati, then the daily mindfulness, the four posture. Then I realized this mind become very natural, very peaceful, very quiet, very silent, very aware. Then I start to understand what sati is when I have the realization, when my mind become that. Then I realize all my last time, sankara, all the thinking, the heedlessness, all like suddenly no more, disappear. Then I was more and more with the moment. Then everything I do, there is just awareness. Then I realize, hey, this is the real sati, which is not what is taught, which is not what the book say. Then during that time, how can I share with the world? How can I even talk about it? That's why after that, I just cultivate on my own. Then after that, very strange, that 3 years, 86 to 89, all my teacher and guide came. The book come, everything come. Then this nature connect, inherit, then understand. Then it just awaken. Then everything become history after that. Then later on, 89, actually I don't need to see anybody already. Even my last teacher told me, no more worldly guide, you will have an astral guide. Later on, until today, don't have. Then the last one, actually, I no need to see him. But the condition is such, because of my past vow, the condition keep on arising. Then the nature told me, you have to see him. Then when I met him, I knew why. He showed me the gateway. That cut short my cultivation by 10 to 15 years at least. That's why, because of that, you all are very lucky. I can come out and share earlier. Otherwise, I have to wait till at this age only I can come out to share. So these are all the conditions that arise. So because of that condition, that understanding, which the world completely don't understand, it is the opposite of what normal people do, normal Buddhists do. The thought base was so strong. That's why 89 until the year 2004, which was 15 years, this nature didn't do anything. And very few people know. That time I think, Mi Feng, I tried to hint to her, but she also cannot understand. So, not easy. So these are the conditions that came about and fall into place. But somehow, the sasana has the condition to unravel all this. Then when the time comes, you all should thank Yun Chan. Yun Chan came and see me. Then she made the request 3 times. She didn't even know why she made the request. And she took it as a joke that time. He said, "Brother, every time he came and see me, he stayed at my house for 3 hours until midnight. He come at 9 o'clock p.m. Then the first time I remember the husband called, Raymond called her. He said, "Brother, I really got to go. My husband calling me." I said, "Okay, you go." Then before he leave, the topic came on. Then she sat down again, talked until midnight. Then second time come on, he remind herself, "I have to go already, but otherwise the call will come already." We are 11 o'clock. Again, the call came, sit until 12 o'clock on the way. Then the third time, same. But the third time, he make the request. She requested 3 times. He said, "Since you understand so much of the Dhamma, why don't you come out and share?" He said, I said, "Never mind." I said, "When the condition is there, you will know, it will come out." After I say no for the third time, the night after she left, very strange. All of a sudden, the nature inside there prompted this form in mind. "Hey, it's about time you come out. The condition is already there." Then the understanding knew, how can I share? It is out of compassion and love for those who are still new and may not understand. Because I knew a lot of people will say those things and comment behind the class because they don't understand this teaching. And what this nature is going to share is completely opposite of what they have learned. So in order to prevent that, I reflected and contemplated. Then my nature said, "Okay, set 3 conditions. If Yun Chan can agree, then this nature come out." That's how that thing become not a talk. I told her to change to Dhamma discussion, Dhamma sharing. Because Dhamma talk is very dangerous. One-way traffic. The speaker here, the audience down there. Then after you finish the talk, at the most a few Q&A. And they cannot argue with you. What you say means you already upfront sweep your either views or opinion or understanding across. Then those people who got no chance to discuss with you, you know what they do? They go to the back and talk. Oh, I tell you, during the early day when I do the recording, I was among those people at the back. I heard all those things. That's why I, out of love and compassion for all these people, I say no many times until the condition unfold. Then later on when I started, it was general topic, I remember. Well, at that time, 2004 tsunami hit. Near to Christmas, I think I start 2004 October, I think, near to Christmas. Then the tsunami hit. Then they asked me a lot of questions on the tsunami thing. Then they found it so interesting. Then there were many topics after that. Then suddenly one day, one of the Kayamitas say, asked Yun Chan, "Why not we ask Brother Teo to share the Dhamma?" He said, "We have an hour on this general topic already." Then Yun Chan came and approached me. I said, "Can. So what topic you want?" She also don't know, is it? "You suggest, Brother Teo." Then I look at the wall. Vipassana Center, like Kanan, upstairs. They got this 5 ascetic with the Buddha underneath the Bodhi tree. I say, first sermon. That time I don't even know what is the first sermon. I heard about it, Dhamma Jagapavattana Sutta, but I never read it. Then after I agree already, I asked Yun Chan, "You got any book that talk about this sutta or not?" She looked at me, Inside her mind, she said, "You want to give this topic, Dhamma Jagapavattana Sutta, and yet you don't know what is the sutta about, you haven't even read about it." Yeah, I only know it's why the two extreme. Because that was what is written in most texts, but most texts don't have the sutta. The sutta are all in the Tipitaka. Then she also, not bad. At that time she said, I think I can find one, because he used to join the chanting. So he took the Thai chanting book. I said, here got Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. I said, oh, I said, thank you. I said, got English translation. He said, go. Then I read through. First time I read through, I knew what the tree turning was all about. Then when I start to teach the tree turning, they keep on looking at me. I said, can I understand? Everybody shake it. Never heard before. Then after four lessons, no. Still cannot understand what is going on. So that time was not easy, really not easy. Then later on I realized it's not the Dhamma that they need. Because the basic essential teaching, the essential Dhamma, the foundation also not there. That's why I had to reverse the whole teaching. I start with the Four Noble Truths. Then Yun Chan, they all keep on complaining. Why bright you every time I repeat Four Noble Truths to eternity, Four Noble Truths? He said, this is kindergarten style, he said. Sunday school children learn one. What they are interested in, because they come from Vipassana society. They are interested in jhana, jnana, all those fantastic meditation. Then I look at them, every time I laugh. I say, you know what sati is or not? They say, sure, we have been doing it for so often, they say, in the retreat, everything. I say, when we note, we are in sati. Wow. Don't know how to explain to her. Then later on, got condition. I talk a bit. No, everybody look at me. Then privately, they come and ask me. What do you mean? They all monk. They cannot understand. How to answer? You help me to answer. I say you ask them. Don't ask me, because my understanding is so different. This is what I understand, and what I understand, I share with you, that's it. No right, no wrong. That is the three conditions. Then after that, somehow, they were lucky that Krishnamurti code came out. Then Eckhart Tolle's book, Power of Tao, came out. Then later on, Bhayan Kathy came out. Then they realized, I can explain all this teaching and relate to the Dhamma. No? Then they realize the power of the now mindfulness, present moment awareness is something that everybody can accept. Then I say, when you are aware, how can you know? When you know, there is a thought. Wow, it took so long to get the message through. Some of you from Klang One, I think, same. Initially tell you all the noting, walking, I was saying, not, this is not the meditation, not Vipassana. You sure? Cannot accept one, because all the retreat people teach like that. I saw in your Tiratana center also got the walking, how to walk with the drawing there. So all this is what the Buddhist community has been exposed to. And I knew it's not difficult, not easy to share this type of understanding. So that's why tonight, since MV asked the question, I make use of the condition to explain this whole thing all over again. So hopefully you all can develop the understanding. So now is it clear? Anyway. Oh, you still got 25 minutes. Yes.
I read from this Parinibbana Sutta. Samasambuddha, before he passed away, when he rested on his right hand side. He entered into first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and then come back to third, I think, second and first jhana again. Why is it described this way? Instead of samadhi.
The sutta is written many, many years later, understand? Many, many years later. So all this come from the commentaries. Because it was reported, Anuruddha, he also do jhana. He is blind. That time he was a monk. Then this life, one of my teacher got affinity with Anuruddha. got connection and all those things. This line also, she has this ability. She can read mind. She can understand many things because they are from the energy field and all those things. You see, during that time, the Buddha, when he wants to pass away, parinibbana, you remember? He told Ananda, his body was like a worn out blockade, remember? Then the worst was he took that meal, that last meal, and he became so sick because of past karma. And when the disciple want to blame the owner who offered that food, the Buddha said no. He said, these two type of person, one is Sujata who offered mock rice to him before he became Samasambuddha, and this merchant who invited him and offered the last meal to him, they are very, very virtuous people. So because of that, he explained that there was, in the distant past, when he was still a lay person, he didn't know. At that time, there was a Pacheka Buddha. But he was just a kid at that time. And you know what happened? People make offering to the Pacheka Buddha. You know what he did? No? He took sand. As a kid, he played, he took sand, and he put it into the bun. No. That's how the karma comes. You offer Pacheka Buddha sand. So that's why he has to take that type of food. Then, when his body was so sick, in order to maintain the body in that state, he has two choices. One is just silent endure and let things be. The other one is because he has this ability to go into jhana, like Mangalana. You remember Mangalana, foremost psychic? When he was clobbered to death, smashed into pieces. I don't know whether how many pieces, I don't know. Whether it's a patlok or whether it's a, I don't know, smashed into pieces. There are so many people attack him. And yet, he can use his jhana and gather them all together. Then go and pay respect to Samasambuddha Sakyamuni and tell the Buddha that he has to leave before him. So jhana, actually, if you know how to use it, it can make you very, very powerful. It can heal your whatever. You see, if you are in that state, you normally age slower because that concentration energy, the stillness energy, will like your cells, everything within, like hibernate inside, understand? It will not like decay so fast, understand? It's like you keep things in the fridge, at that low temperature, it won't go bad so fast, understand? So there is a possibility that where he was in the lying down posture, remember? And he can go into jhana this way, you know. He don't have to be in a cross-legged position. Then he went into this is because he wants to have that type of energy. That could be one of the possibilities. But normally, based on what I understand, he will not do that. Understand? He will not have any more clinging or attachment to this body. He will understand this body for what it is. He will just know how to silence and go into stillness, go into pasati. Then after that, parinibbana. Even Huineng did the same. So what the sutta or the text say, a lot are written after, many, many hundred years later. Then most of them are from the commentaries. Because after the first council, there was still no writing. Then the second council. Then later only they commit to writing when there is writing. So all this, you will develop the understanding after you have awakened, then you will understand all this very clearly. Who are you? What are you? What is this form and mind all about? Then what is cessation all about? And what Nibbana is all about? It is no more an idea or knowledge or concept. It is an understanding born of realization. The form and mind that goes through the cessation, when it come out, it will have the understanding. But it cannot describe to you, because when it happened, there is no word, nothing. Very few people can tell you what that thing is. Because this one is very, very rare, very rare. The real cessation is not what you think. Completely still cessation. No mind, nothing. Consciousness also know that, no more. Pure awareness also no more. The whole brain here, no more movement, no more activity. But you are not dead. No more heartbeat, nothing. But you are not dead. The only difference is you don't become like the dead corpse. You know, dead corpse, they become very cold very fast. You touch, you know, it's dead already. The heat element almost gone. But when people go through that cessation, when they went into parinibbana or the state of nibbana, there is no, like the dead corpse, the body still has its, no more heartbeat, nothing. Everything is so still. But it don't get cold. Then the vibration near there is very different. You are a cultivator, you are a meditator, you will know. You can feel your, it's very, very still. It is totally different, because that is born of the pure nature. The pure nature. Then there is the oneness. It like merge into the entire oneness. Then they call it the Buddha nature, the oneness nature, or the Taoist call it the Tao. Then some call it the source of all things. So these are the various type of words. The Christian may call it the kingdom of God. So it depends on the understanding, and different religion has different words for it. But it doesn't mean that they all have the same understanding, because many religion, their understanding of the ultimate state is different. Especially the Hindus, they have different understanding. They talk about the ultimate self, Atman. Then some call it the true self. Then some they call it the kingdom of God. Then there are various types of teaching that explain it differently. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Did I answer your question? What was your question? I forgot already. No. After that, the recent one you asked. Oh, yeah, the four jhana. Okay. Now Mimi can ask. Yeah. That's why I answer you already. I also forgot what you asked.
Actually, the question that I want to ask is, I have this meditation session, which is the Tuesday and today. I explain today first. Actually, today when the echo.
It's okay. You continue.
I actually went into a state of stillness, and I actually went into when I'm very aware. Actually, everybody's movement, especially this gentleman beside me, and I can hear your tummy crooking and one. gentleman over there, I don't know who. Then it doesn't affect me actually mentally. I just aware of it. Then later I went into a state of like my whole body is actually missing. Everything is like dangling. And it's a mess of energy actually. I can feel that everybody is a mess of energy. Then later I went into a state of pity. I feel a lot of joy. Like, I don't know whether it's pity or sukha. Then I went into another state is where I can feel the heart area has a very fine stream of movement. I have that in Tuesday. So this time I'm also getting it. When in the Tuesday class, actually 2 days ago, when I have that, I try to see, is it my heartbeat? But it is so fine, so it cannot be the heartbeat. So I try to go back to the more gross to feel my heartbeat, but I cannot. So today I don't want to do that. I just go with it. So it is very fine. Then later, I come to a point that some thoughts arises. When this thought arises, the moment they arise, I am aware, so they pass away. So again they arise, and this time my mind actually goes through it, go with the thought. Then again it goes away. Because I'm aware of it. So when I'm doing that thought that arise, I go with it. I realize when the mind is with the thought, I can feel the grossness of the thought. That means the mundane, the thought mind is very gross. So when I return back to the to that state of no thought, I can, this time I really see it very, very clear. Mundane mind is very gross. Actually, still mind is very, very refined. It was very clear to me. Then later, the bell ring.
You got any question? So what's your question? What is it that you want to know?
So the question is, because when you're giving the explanation, I try to reflect and contemplate this fine movement of in the heart area, not area. Is this the what they call it, the stream of consciousness of the form for the form and mind? So I want to I want to know. Because the Tuesday one, I actually cannot, when I will go deep into it, I was in a very deep meditative state actually. But I'm fully aware. I just like absorb into that state. So that's why I've been, because while you are talking, explaining, I can feel my heartbeat throughout and it's very gross. So it cannot be the heartbeat.
No, the heartbeat, you silent. Don't try to know. Remember that word. When you try to know, when you try to do a lot of these things, you will like stagnate there. You cannot go deeper. That's why I say don't try to know, even the heartbeat. The heartbeat is the heartbeat. Heartbeat is not the mundane mind. The awareness of the heartbeat is the awareness. But the moment you silent and allow it to be, the awareness as you become aware, the heartbeat, because there is no more energy going into it. It's just the life force energy. And there is no movement, no stirring, nothing. Then the life force will go back to its natural state of pure thought or pure mental states. During that time, all of the heartbeat will slow down. It will slow down by itself. Or the vibration will slow down by itself. That's how you will go into paucity. Paucity is when it is so still, so silent. So silent got two. The true mind got no knowing one. All knowing come from the mundane mind. Stirring. The true mind is the true mind. Because that true mind is just nothing. Whereas the mundane mind is the thought, the movement. So when you try to know, when you say, I become this, I become that, is still the mundane mind. No matter how fine, it is still the mundane mind. So the understanding of meditation is very important. That's why the key to understanding the real sati or awareness-based meditation are the four support. Do you relax into every mind state? First. Don't try to get excited. Because when the mind is sensitive, she will went through that stage, that phase. She can feel the movement at the side and even people's vibration and other things. In the early day, I remember when I sleep or lie down and do my lying down meditation. The sensitivity of this mind, sometimes you may hear this body like snoring. But actually the awareness is inside there. Yeah. Then people don't know, they thought I sleep. But the next morning, everything they say, quite far away. The meditation hall and the place where we rest is quite a distance, and yet can hear. Then there was one instant, I remember. I was lying down on one corner of the room. The mindfulness was so sensitive. I can feel the ant crawling around the door frame there, you know, distant about 20, 30 feet away. Then I purposely away, come out, I go and check. You know, and really, the ants are there. So all these are possible, but it doesn't mean anything. Understand? Or? This is a mind that is in that state. It has that sensitivity. So that is just, that's it, nothing special. But because of that sensitivity, you must develop understanding out of it. That is the meditation. So understanding means what? If you try to know, that's why the second support, aware, you have to maintain. Don't try to know. The moment the thought is active, yeah, trying to understand whether this is the stream or not the stream. Actually, what they talk about in the Abhidhamma is Bhavanga. Understand? Bhavanga is the life continuum, the life stream. They talk about this because through karmic force, this stream of consciousness, they will always flow, even while you're asleep. Understand? But when there is this arresting, they call it arresting, when the sense door, they have been imprinted, understand? Or sometimes your subconscious release, like you dream. Then like suddenly you sleep, then there is a loud noise go through your what they call hearing. Then that vibration disturb this dream, understand? They call it arresting consciousness. Then it make you conscious, understand? Then that one make you conscious again. Then your conscious mind come out, understand? That's why when you go to sleep, the subconscious and the unconscious set in, the life. But forget about that. Don't try to understand that. Yeah? Because that one, no point. Because that is the coming, the stream of consciousness. When you are silent and aware within the meditation, the awareness that nature is not this stream, is not this mind. This one is still the mundane one. That nature, no words on, is just silent, aware. But the moment you come to know, the aggregate arise already. That's why that time, don't try to know. Just allow it to be. Maintain this awareness. Don't try to know. That's why I keep this word here. Until you can do it like continuously, that's like 24 hours. Here got two meaning. You maintain continuous awareness or mindfulness, the silent mind. This one is in the form of meditation. But in daily life also, you can be in this state. Continuous awareness, 24 hours. Then during that time, you just maintain awareness. Don't try to know. that silent mind, when it becomes very stable, it will awaken by itself. It will understand by itself. It will see everything by itself. No need words. Then because you are so quiet, so peaceful, so still and so silent, your mental intention is very clear. You start to see them all. Last time you never see because you are busy thinking, lost in thought, heedless. A lot of views and opinion, preoccupied so many things. Everything has so much meaning. That's why you're never silent. Like Krishnamurti say, you don't have time to observe and understand. You have a lot of time to think and worry, plan and do all this funny thing. But you don't have time to silence your mind to observe and understand. Meditation is about silencing the mind to observe and understand without word, without condemnation, without reaction, without wanting to know, without any judgment or comment. That will allow you to see things as they are. Then you will know how your form and mind function, how it stirs, how you get conditioned into all the various mind states, then how all these things happen inside you, and how it animates into what it is. That is the real meditation. That is the real. So after you have developed this tree, the last one is trust. Trust means no thought involved. Just let the nature do. Not until you reach this point, trust, and internally transform, your mundane mind cannot collapse. Your mundane mind will always be there. Even if you awaken and become arahan, the outflow of thought, mundane mind will still be there. Yeah. That's why arahan and beyond, the bodhisattva, they will do the fourth support. And that one will transform your nature completely. Without thought, the nature do. Then all of the yin and yang energy, they will melt inside there. Yeah. But that gateway, you need to completely silence without thought. Stillness, paucity. Not energy field, not apana. Free mind with wisdom, understanding, and the enlightenment factor. Then you stay at the heart. Relax. Don't try to know. And then you will detect. You will detect. And when it detects, you will know. Then the energy all will flow inside. Yeah. Like water finding its own level. Yeah. Because that nature is also no thought. And the gateway and the nature, they will merge. Yeah. That's how you connect. And the moment you connect, all this will happen. Then the form and mind will understand. Everything will just unfold inside there. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We should rejoice with the question. Tonight's question is very good. Ah, yeah, Leslie, yes. Wait, pass to Leslie. Yeah. Yeah, let's push it all the way out.
Okay, I have a sharing tonight.
Ah, so good.
Sharing.
Ah, good.
After I was sitting,
yeah.
When the lights turn on, I just my eyes just refused to open because.
Yeah, you can continue to meditate. To, yes.
Then when all the Kalyanamitas started to chant the
Sleepy
Soul, did not.
Yeah,
join in.
You continue to meditate.
Yeah.
Song also continue
and
to meditate.
And then I, it's just like, I just went into the meditation.
Yeah, sadhu. Very good.
I
know.
The body.
I know.
And suddenly,
it harmonized.
I was not like,
not here,
but in
correct,
the chanting.
Correct. Yeah. Where your awareness is with the chanting.
Yeah.
Because you
and
didn't chant.
After that, you
when you don't chant, the awareness is with that one. That is the real sati.
And you really feel the joy.
Yeah. That's why the piti, the sukha, they will arise.
And the other question is, I would like to know, when one is in stillness, your five senses, like of course, if your eyes are closed, your senses like sense of hearing, touch,
they are all open, fully engaged.
And even if somebody touches you or someone pricks you,
you
can still feel feeling, yes, but yes, it does not stir you.
Correct,
is that right?
Correct. Where you have samadhi.
Does not stir you.
Yes,
at all,
because you have samadhi.
But you are fully aware.
Yeah, fully engaged.
In stillness.
In stillness. But the jhana is different. Now you bring about the condition. When you are in jhana, this is apana samadhi. Apana samadhi or jhana. Because this one, during the early days, I went into it. I went into absorption, apana samadhi, continuous mindfulness. Then you know what happened. I think I told some of you before. That time I only meditate at night. 2 a.m., sometimes 3 a.m. Because I like late, very late at night. Nobody disturb, and the nature is very still. Then you know, SS2, middle of the night, you got these people who raise their car. The highway, I think, scared police catch. They come to SS2 area also. So they try this. That's how you look at the road now. So many bumps where people complain at night. But it helped me during the early days, I remember. When I was in this state of absorption or jhana, when I went in, very strange. As I developed this anapanasati, when it became so fine and so still and so quiet, then I went into absorption. The moment I went into absorption, very funny. The hearing consciousness shut down. All of a sudden, the sound outside the car, no more. Then straight away, this inside aware, then it knew. How come like that? Then I release the absorption. The moment I release, it was so loud. Come back. Then I went in again. Shut up. That's why that jhana can shut off your senses. But that is a conditioned state. What just now Leslie went through one is very good. There is a free mind. And so you are in samadhi. You are in stillness, silent. But your senses are fully engaged. But you are not disturbed. And so, but the samadhi needs stability, need wisdom, need understanding. Otherwise, sometimes when you are not stable enough, sometimes when there is a very, very loud lightning, especially those that caught you by surprise, suddenly like strike down, you realize for a moment it still moves. Because that time you are in that state of piti and sukha. You are actually holding there. That full awareness is not there. Then the samadhi is not stable. Then the wisdom not there yet. Not stable yet. But later on, when the wisdom is very stable, when the samadhi is very stable, there is clarity, nothing, no movement at all. But the jhana one is different, no? The jhana one, actually, you call it one. It is a conditioned state. It is actually a fixed state. But that one is very powerful, no? Well, I remember that time, but one time, I meditate during the early day until this chest here, the heart here, the energy field was so strong. The analogy is like it's a cylinder of stillness energy, so still. One cylinder, the whole heart there. And you know what happened? It's so still until nothing can go near it. Even lightning or whatever sound or what can't even go near it. It's just like revibrate on the external. That's why that time I was still in the university. I thought Gao Tim already. That was actually a conditioned state. That's why later on I came out. Then I developed the daily mindfulness that I only come to know. That one was a conditioned state. That's why jhana, you have to be very careful. You are really like enlightened. Nothing can disturb you. Even people pour hot water or say whatever to you, there is so much metta, I remember that time. Oh, that time the metta from the heart, oh, very different. And there is a lot of metta. That's why you will go through all these phases, and you will understand. Because this is what meditation is all about, and you have to understand both. Otherwise, you can never understand the actual movement. And also because of past vow, to penetrate all understanding, all Dhamma. Otherwise, you cannot teach and share. It's not so easy. We are human beings are so different. As everyone is so different. And there is no two persons same because your karmic past, eons and eons of birth and death, the karmic nature is so different, so diverse. And everyone is so different. You cannot like use knowledge to share or teach. You cannot. One size fits all. Impossible. Mm-hmm. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu. Oh, 10:35. You have to stop. Yeah, anyway, we rejoice one more time. We thank them for the question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why you must ask questions. You want to hear more stories, you must ask questions. Because no condition, nothing come out. Understand? Unless there is condition. You shy, you write them down. Understand? Then just now, God want to ask, I think too late already. You write it down. Maybe ask the next time. Now also cannot remember. Very good. So means no question. Very good. Sorry. Okay. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we can invoke our blessing for the nation. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer of merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena sasa sampatihito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Ibmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect, mindful, and eternal Lord Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, then we end.
One year for Chinese New Year,
yeah, too far away.